Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Country Bible Church. Special welcome to the visitors we have out there this morning. Our first hymn is Jesus Calls Us O'er the Tumult. It's on page 399. And we'll do all verses, page 399.
That pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It's phenomenal weather we're having today. We come here and we're reminded to trust and obey. One way that we obey is to pray consistently, and that's what we're going to do now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for who and what you are, and that you have given us this beautiful day to be here, to feed upon your mighty word, and to concentrate on your principles. We're so thankful that we don't have to earn or deserve anything from you, because it all comes from your grace. Now we commemorate that grace in giving, not from a sense of compulsion, but from a sense of great gratitude. And to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Have some things to go over before we get into our message today. The first one is that we have these books and literature down here from Grace Evangelical Ministry, from Moses Amwabiko. He was here Thursday night and he gave a message. And he left these here for us, so just come up and help yourself to all of these. And don't just get enough for yourself, get enough to give somebody else. And if we run out, we'll get some more. They don't do anybody any good just sitting on this table. Also, I've been wanting to do this for a long time, but I'm going to do it this morning and have a little segment here about our website, because we have some major changes taking place on our website, and there'll be some more coming up, but I want you to see what we have in the way of changes to start with. Of course, our website is countrybiblechurch.us. And that brings us up. This is our home page right here. This is something new here. This is going to be an announcement box, and we're going to keep it at the ready all the time to give you information that you need. For instance, when Moses came, I would have had this on the announcement that Moses was going to be here on Thursday. You know, somebody that didn't know any better, and they went here and they said, Moses is going to be at Country Bible Church? I believe we'd have a bigger crowd. Anyway, this just is, it's not actually active yet. We just haven't put this on, but we will be making changes that as we go. And of course, we have here our live streaming. On Sundays at 10:30 and Tuesdays and Thursdays class at 7, all you have to do is open the website and click on this hyperlink here, and boom, you go to live streaming. Now, this is what I've been pretty excited about right here. I don't know what that's doing. Okay, good. I don't like pushing buttons. See if I can break this. Okay, right here. We now have our YouTubes accessible right here on our site. Our YouTubes, we have three categories of YouTubes. We have major Bible events, the discernment review series and specials. And from time to time, we're going to be changing this. A featured video. This one happens to be why Hurricane Harvey and Irma. But the neat thing about this is when you want to go to YouTube, you don't have to put YouTube in there and navigate through that. For instance, if we're looking at specials, all you have to do is click on specials here, and they come up. One of them are actually open here, whichever one was the latest one. And we can just close that. And here are our specials here. And the last one that we did was on, when did I do this? Thursday. Oh, with Moses was here on a Tuesday. That's right, Tuesday, okay. And on Thursday, this is the NFL debacle. This is Moses. And all you have to do to get any of these is just click on it. You can scroll down through them, and it'll bring them up. There's, we're starting the Moses deal there. Okay, that's pretty neat, isn't it? So, you don't have to... let's see, where do I want to go back over here? And I don't know if I'm... got to put my glasses on. Where are my glasses? I got about 6 pair over here. Okay. See, I'm prepared. I was a good Boy Scout. Okay, we'll just get off of that. And you can do those for any of these. The major Bible event, the same thing. Just click on them and they all come up over here on the right, and you just click on whichever one you want. Here they are. Okay? Okay. We had problems because each server had a different way to access the YouTubes, and it was just a mess. So that's the way we have it now. We're going to have CBC podcast. That's not functional yet, so I don't want to do that. But I do want to go up here and show you things. I don't think that we're, most of the people that are using the website understand how powerful it is and so many things you can access. For instance, if you go to these tabs up here, About Us, if you click on About Us, it just tells them about the sites. Did I lose? Here they are. I knew, lost this pair. Here's all the information here. If you click on this, this is a map to Country Bible Church. And then we have links of interest right here. If you click on links of interest, you bring up all these doctrinal churches. So if you want to have somebody go to a different area, a different church, for instance, if we go to Grace Doctrinal Church, let's see if this one will come up. It goes to the it goes to their website. There it is, Grace Doctrinal Church, and so and then you can maneuver through that if you'd like. So, and that's good for telling friends about what did I do? Did I turn the whole thing on? I was going to try not to do that, but I'm a bad button person. Yeah, I turned the whole thing off. We can get right. See, we can get right back to it right here. Okay, so that was About Us, and there's some other things about right here. Right here. Can y'all see that mouse right here? This is our doctrinal statement right here. If you want to know what our doctrinal statement is, this is some information about me. Facebook and Twitter, there's really not anything there because I don't do Twitter. And I don't do Facebook. Here's a list of Bible doctrines. You can go through here and see some of those. We're going to update this. I'm going to get rid of some and put some new ones on here. Visuals. We have a lot of visuals. So if you want to, for instance, go to the circles. There they are. Right here. If you want to know something about hell, Where is it? I saw it. Right here. Okay. The compartments of hell. There you go, right there. So, there's a lot of visuals there. And I don't know if people are taking advantage of those very much, but they're there. Then we have orders. If you want to make, if you want to order CDs or MP3s or whatever, you can just go here. This is audio CDs and DVDs. Click this, and a form comes up, and you fill it out, and you can send it in for to get CDs and DVDs and so forth. We even have music. Did y'all know we had music? Yeah, these are people. We have the Dixon family singing. They're here today. We have Carrie and Cindy Perkins, the congregation, John Hare. They were pretty hard up this day. They got me and Carrie were singing, but for me anyway. Anyhow, you might check that out, and it's pretty good music there. Or you can go, I'm not going to go to podcast. If you want to contact us, just click here. And whether you have a comment, good or bad, or if something isn't working on the website, whatever you want, you just put your name here and your email address and make your comment. It doesn't have to be nice. It can be ugly. We'd rather it be nice, but if it's ugly, we need to know that too. Now, this is probably one of the most powerful features that I doubt that many people are using. And this word, the tab right here, I click search. See it right here? Search. And on this, you can click right in here in this little box here. And whatever you want to find on the website, like I'm going to put on here, let's say, divorce. And then I'm just going to click search. And here we go. Everywhere on this site where divorce is mentioned, it's there. And it's highlighted. See here, like fathers and mothers attacks. Here it is, divorce right there. And when you get down here, you've got, there's so many, there's four pages of these areas where there is, whatever you click in there, it will find. Are y'all using that? And tell people if they go to the website, a lot of times they have something in particular, some issue that they want to address, and this is, they can just type it in here and find it. Now, if you have more than one word, you can put in quotation marks. Like if I want to find experiential, sanctification. And then I put it in quotation marks and hit search. Now, these are all the places where you find, see it highlighted here, experiential sanctification. So if someone asks you, well, what is experiential sanctification? You can say, go to the website and click it right there, and it'll take you here. Now, one thing I want to show you, some of these are, like, see, this is 2 Thessalonians. These are audios. Not all of them are notes. And if you click on this audios, it says 31 through 40. That means this experiential sanctification was in the title of an audio. And if you want to find that audio, you just go right here. You put your clicker there and click here. And there they are. Now, what I'm going to give you now is worth a trip here, if you don't know it. So, where do you find it on all the audios here? If get your pen and pad out, because you might forget this. It's simple, but it's real important. You hold down the control button and click F. And see this little box that came up in here? Right up here? And there, I'm gonna type EXPERIENTIAL. Experiential, you see gives them in color here? And so you don't have to look all over the place in order to find them. They automatically come up right there. Of course, this is experiential sanctification. Both places I didn't do sanctification. But do you see how neat that is? And by the way, you can do that anytime. If you're on in a document, or you can even go to a book, and if you hit Control and hold it down and click F and click a word or a phrase in there, it'll go all through that book and find it for you. Okay? So I hope y'all start using this more. I'll go back here. I'll just be careful not to close it again. Okay, now over on this right side, it's broken down into about us. That's the same thing over here. Donations, podcasts. Now these are our current series. Discernment Review, Major Bible Events, and Specials. It's the same thing that we have over here on our YouTubes. These are videos. These up here, for instance, if we go into Major Bible Events, you click on that. They're grouped in lessons of 10. And let's say if you open up this one here, you'll find 10 lessons there. And you can click on audio, listen, if you want to just listen to it. If you want to download it to your computer, you click download. If you click on Major Bible Events here, the notes will come up. So that's the format that they're in. Okay? And those are our current series. And these change as we just took off discernment because we're through with that because we're on the review. Then we have previous series here, and there's quite a few of them, and they work the same way. When you click on these, you'll see them all here. It'll have the audio and the notes. You choose whichever one you want. Down here on the bottom, we have publications. And when you click on the publications, then then it comes up. For instance, let's see, we have one about what are you working for? I like to give that to people. That's the one I use for when I leave a tip, you know, and for the waitress. She's working, and this says, what are you working for? Well, she might say a tip, but this might be better, more than that. We even have them in Spanish. Here's one in Spanish. Supposed to be there. What is this show all? Uh-oh. I don't think I should have clicked that one. This worked at home, but I didn't. This is on my laptop. I was working on the other one. I'm going to X this out and hope we don't shut down everything. Okay. Here's one. You're married now, what? I think it might be coming up somewhere. Is it coming up? Where, right here? Oh, over here. Oh, okay. Does that mean it's downloading or it's... I'm going to put open. Here it comes. And what you see here is exactly what you have in our booklets in the library. There you go. You're married now. What? Now this is the front of the book. You can see they're back to back, and they don't look too happy. By the time you read the book and you get to the back, they're embracing. That's on the back cover. So, all right. Well, I hope that this was time well spent. That I think I did it again. Or no, is it still here? Yeah, it's still there. Okay. So, go there and use these. There's another links over here I didn't get to. I think the links are about the same that we had over in that other thing. Yeah, it's essentially the same thing. You can also get over here and get the Berean Call. If I click that, it'll take us to the Berean Call. Bible Framework from Charlie Clough, Schaefer Theological Seminary, Pre-Trib. Oh, I didn't mean to click it. All right. Okay. And here's all the different churches and so forth. Okay? Y'all have any questions? Yes. Okay. You got two places. You can either click on this link here. where it says links. Right there, the last one on the right says links. We also have it over here also, but you probably, it's a little easier to access right there. Okay? All right. We're done, right? We're going to shift gears now. Now, I want to close it. Let's see if it's going to close. Yeah, okay. But I'm not ready to go here yet. Did y'all notice that there was an insert in your bulletins? That was an email from Brett Harmberg to the Cyfair Sports Association, and y'all all have it, but the people who are live streaming and who will be getting CDs and audios and so forth didn't hear it. So I'm going to read this, then make a few comments afterwards before we get into our lesson. To the Cyfair Sports Association, I heard today that the Cyfair Youth Sports Association would no longer allow national anthem to be played at youth games. I hope what I heard is not true, but if it is, then you can certainly count me out as a spectator at any event sponsored by this organization. Further, I do my best to persuade others not to support the organization, attend any event sponsored by it, or allow their children to participate. I heard that the change was made in an effort to prevent controversy in case people chose to use it as a means for political displays, and that the anthem is only played at large events and sporadically by cheerleaders at regular games. By reading this, it appears that association leaders have made the assumption that this is a non-issue and would like to keep it that way. He's talking about doing away with the national anthem, and he says, I, for one, strongly underlined, disagree. Our country is great because of those who have sacrificed in defense of it so that freedom and liberty would be preserved. Playing the national anthem, facing the flag, putting your hand over your heart, and remembering the sacrifices over that brief period of those who... That brief period of those a few minutes shows respect for those sacrifices. This should not be used by anyone as a venue to draw attention due to an issue they deem important. In doing so, they mistakenly believe that they are demonstrating support for the issue when in reality they are demonstrating an utter lack of appreciation and manners as they hijack the moment of remembrance for not only themselves, but for also those in attendance. Consider these words from the third verse of America the Beautiful, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. When we silently stand, this is who we are remembering, those who love their country and what it stands for so much that they gave their lives to preserve it. We remember these heroes that gave not only the life that they were living, but the life they would have lived had the sacrifice not been necessary. How can we, standing with our countrymen on ground paid for by their sacrifice to honor their memory with a few moments of respect at the beginning of an event? Instead, we decide that because there might be a misguided few in attendance, it's better to cancel the remembrance entirely, thereby robbing everyone in attendance of opportunity to remember and show respect. This was and is an opportunity to stand up for what's right, not because it's easy, but because it's hard, because it's right, and because no matter what divides us, as Americans, we unite behind the respect due those that lay down their lives for the freedom and liberty enjoyed today. And then he quotes John 15:13, greater love hath no man than that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Thanks, Brett Harmberg, a concerned Cyfair resident. Now, we need believers all over the country to make a stand and let their voice be heard. So well done that it bared repeating. Everybody seems like this is making this out of some kind of complicated situation, but it's really not. The owners and the coaches and the players of the NFL did something that they don't realize how immense a mistake was when they did this. This is the essence of it. They put their league and their teams and their fellow players, they showed loyalty to them over loyalty to the country. That's what it all boils down to. And when they did so, they brought shame and disgrace upon themselves. When I think of... and by the way, I blame the owners most, because when that loser third-string quarterback lost out on the field and they were wearing socks that disrespected the police, and when he kneeled down during the anthem, he should have been immediately removed from the field. He should have been fired, and if necessary, the very police that he was disrespecting should have been called to escort him off the field, because that would have nipped it in the bud. All this wouldn't have happened if the owner of that team would have made that decision. Now people are saying, "Oh yeah, but he has the right to do that." No, he does not have the right to do that. The First Amendment has to do with the government. It starts out by saying, "Congress shall make no law." This was not a government issue. This is about an employee who was on the clock, and he was disregarding the very specific and detailed rules about behavior during the national anthem. These are enshrined in the NFL, it's something like the rule book, but they all have to live by it. And when these players join a team, then they subscribe to that. They are essentially saying they're going to abide by that. And it doesn't matter what they think, they don't have the right to express what they think, nor to promote their own agenda while that national anthem is going on. Why do we do this anyway? Brett covered it well in his paper here. Why do we, at these big events, these public events, have the flag portrayed and then play the national anthem? It's because it gives the people a chance to demonstrate their loyalty to country. And it doesn't have anything to do with what's wrong about this country. Everybody knows it's not a perfect country, and everybody has their own agendas. But it's that flag represents everyone, all Americans. And in my mind, there is no legitimate right to dishonor it, to disrespect it. For if you can't stand for those few sacred moments while people are showing homage to what this country is all about, freedom, and the people who gave their lives in order to provide it for us, if you can't do that, then what you need to do is to expatriate and move to another country. Other than that, nobody cares about what your little pet issue may be. And so now we have, I think it was Thursday night, we have players coming out, and they stood for the national anthem, but they were locked in arm in arm. And I still think that is not correct, because they're still trying to send a message. During the national anthem, it's not a time to send a message. It's not a time to do anything other than to put your hand over your heart or salute if you're in the military and show utter respect for what is so important to us as Americans. Now, they're trying to dial it back some. I saw that they said, one guy said, well, when they were kneeling, they were praying. And, even if they were, which I doubt, that's not a time to pray. There was a time that I can remember when you went to all these games, you not only had the national anthem, you had somebody give an invocation. They had a prayer. So there's a time to pray, and there's a time to stand and show your gratitude and respect for the flag. So they haven't dialed it back a little bit. The fans have not bought it. And you see, up until the time our president made a statement that held them accountable. Nobody was holding them accountable. And the president doesn't have the authority. It's not a governmental issue, but at least he brought it forth to the front. And a lot of players, you know, what do you call someone who is disloyalty to your country? You call them traitors, don't you? Well, I don't really think they're traitors in the full sense of that term. I think they were angry and they were pouting like little kids and we're going to try to get back at the president, but they did it in a horrible way. And they did a traitorous act. And the worst thing about all this is they have not recanted it. I think if even just one owner of these football teams had the courage and the moral courage to say publicly, we were wrong. We realize now that we disgraced ourselves and the flag, and we will never do that again. And I will assure you, anybody on my team that pulls a stunt like that will be immediately discharged. He'll be fired. And I think if they did that, the people, the fans, might rightly forgive them for that and give them another chance. But I don't know what's going to happen because I don't see that. All I see is them doubling down on everything that they've done. And the fans, they're the key. They're the ones that can hold them responsible by simply not participating. I saw people, this guy had six packs of season tickets, throwing them in the fire and burning them. The guy had a Steelers jacket and all this other stuff. The Steelers jacket cost $450 and on a YouTube, he put it in a fire and burned it along with his jerseys and hats and all the rest of the things. Now, if for some people, patriotism is no big deal. And they will let this slide. They will continue as if nothing happened because that's what the players and the coaches and the owners want. Like, well, let's just all play football. Let's just put this behind us. In my mind, that's somewhat like condoning some people who have acted like traitors. But that's my personal opinion. I don't know where this is going to go, but I think the reason I said this, the reason that I made the Brett's paper here public and all, is because we as Christians, we have, as believers, need to show that we stand for something. I don't think if a person is going to stand for their flag, that they'll stand for their faith. And so we are required to do what is right and what is righteous. And I just put it out there for you. I think it's just simple. We need to show loyalty to our country, and above all, loyalty to our God. Okay, now we're going to get into our message, but before we do, this would be a perfect time for us to have a few moments of silent prayer. There might be somebody out here vibrating. I don't see it, but they may be doing it online or whatever. But we're going to get into Genesis chapter 5, and we need to be prepared in that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So we'll have a few moments of silent prayer to name any unconfessed sins to God, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here. We're so thankful that you are a righteous and just God, and that you are training us here on earth to do the same, to be righteous and to be just and loving as well. So we pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate on the message this morning, that we will take that one more step closer to being conformed to the image of Christ, for we pray it in His name. Amen. Okay, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5. This is continuing the major event series. This is lesson 39. Today is October the 1st. So in Genesis chapter 5, we have genealogy, and we've gone through a lot of that genealogy. We kind of slowed down on verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And we went over this last Sunday, and I hope that you remember that this does not mean that Enoch was resurrected, because no one was resurrected until Christ was resurrected. What I think happened is that he didn't die physically, and it looks as if he went up into the second heaven, but I presume that he wound up in Abraham's bosom or paradise. Those are synonyms, which is a compartment in the earth that received Old Testament believers. Of course, that was emptied when Jesus Christ went to heaven. He took those Old Testament saints with him. But the same thing happened to Elijah. He went up into heaven in a chariot of fire. And I think the same thing happened to him. So we paused on that. Do y'all remember why? I think it's reasonable to surmise that this was a preview. This was a type of what is going to happen to us if we are still alive when Jesus Christ returns. For we will be walking along, or we may be sitting, or just wherever we are, and then we will be not. We won't be there anymore. We will go vertical. We'll go, but only we're going to go to the second, to the first heaven. First heaven is the atmosphere. The second heaven is the celestial sphere. The third heaven is where God lives, the throne of God. And we're going to go into the first heaven, and then we're going to be with the Lord from then on. So I think that was a typology, because throughout this whole chapter, it says he lived so many years and died such and such, and then he died, and then he died, and then he died, and then he died, and then he was not. Oh, this is something big. You know, not everybody is going to die. We may not die physically if we are around when Jesus Christ returns. And this was a symbolic of it. So in verse 25 it says, "And Methuselah lived 187 years and became the father of Lamech. And then Methuselah lived 782 years after he became the father of Lamech, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and then he died." That's nearly 1,000 years. That's a long time. There are people who are centurions that live to be 100. They say that since there's so many baby boomers, that in another, 10 or 20 years, there'll be a lot more people who are 100. I don't know. I don't personally want to be 100 if I'm just laying in a bed slobbering all over myself. I'd just soon be gone to be with the Lord, but that's not my call. It's not your call. And I'm so glad that's the way it is. Can you imagine how horrible it would be if God said, "Well, I tell you what, I'm going to give you latitude here. You decide when you're going to die." Well, there would be people outliving Methuselah if that was the case, if they could. And it would be a mess. So, Methuselah's name means, "When he is dead, it shall be sent." That is what Methuselah's name means in the Hebrew. And what is it talking about? What's going to be sent? The flood. He was a precursor to the flood. When we read on, we see about Lamech. It says something about Lamech. But Lamech, the only press he ever gets is that he was Noah's father. So, you know, that's the big thing about Lamech, was he was the father of Noah. Now, when it says that, when when he is dead, it shall be sent. I think that this 969 years, isn't that what I said, 969 years? That he was alive. I think the very day that he died is when it started raining. Because it says that when he is dead, it shall be sent. And I think it's plausible that the day that he died, it started raining. See, they didn't rain before that. They didn't know what rain was. There was a mist that went up over the canopy here. But when it started raining, what in the world was that? But I bet the people who were listening to Noah preach the gospel for 120 years started getting a little bit nervous then. They should have been nervous when they shut the door. And God's the one that shut the door, by the way. But then it was too late. And so when Noah died, I think it started raining, and God had it with all these unbelievers, because Noah, he gave them 120 years of grace. Noah preached to them all this time. You know, I think about Noah sometimes. I guess every pastor does from time to time, because sometimes your pastor is faithful, he teaches and teaches, and sometimes you wonder, are there ears out there to hear? And some people just outright reject it. And I'm thinking, what little rejection I may receive is nothing compared to Noah. Can you imagine preaching consistently for 120 years and all they're doing is laughing? Hey, come see the fool. He's building this big thing. He calls it a boat. And he said it's going to rain. What's rain? Well, you'll find out soon enough. So there are two kinds of typologies to be noticed here as we've been going through chapter 5 and 4 as well. You had Cain and you had Abel. Now, Cain was an unbeliever. He murdered his brother Abel. And then there's typology concerning them, and there's typology between Abel and Seth. So when Abel died, then Seth essentially took his place. Cain and Abel stand as representatives of the human race. And it's very easy to understand. Every person in the human race is on one side or the other. They either are believers or they are unbelievers. You can't be partially a believer and partially an unbeliever. It'd be like saying she's a little bit pregnant. No, you're either pregnant or you're not. And it's the same thing when it comes to believers. You are either a believer or an unbeliever, and believers fall under the line of Seth, or else they fall under the line of Cain. Cain represents the unbeliever. He was a religious type. Not all of them are, but he was. And Abel represents the believers. So the human race is divided in two categories, delineated in John 3:36. Now, you can turn there, but you ought to know this verse. It's a powerful verse. He who believes on the Son has what? Eternal life. He who does not believe shall not see God, but the wrath of God abides upon him. So those are two categories. And what determines whether they are a believer or not? If they believe on the Son. It doesn't have anything to do with works or sins or anything else. He who believes in the Son, it doesn't say will acquire, it says he has it at that point. He's imputed eternal life. How long does eternal life last? Huh? For eternity, doesn't it? And these people, they say, oh, well, yes, I lost my salvation. Well, you know, I don't know, kicked a goat, I don't know what they did, but whatever it was, they don't understand eternal. Eternal life, it cannot be less than what it is, which is eternal life. So everyone either fits on that category, on that side, as far as a believer, and they are in the line of Abel, or they and Seth, or they are an unbeliever in the line of Cain. Now there's another type of analogy or typology here between Abel, who was obedient to God and was killed, and Jesus Christ. Think about this. Abel can be a picture of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, because Seth was born to carry out the plan of God, which can be seen as relating to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abel died a violent death at the hands of his brother. Jesus Christ was crucified a violent death by the hand of his brethren, the Jews. So there's a lot of typology. If you just have your antenna up, you can see it. And I thought I would bring that out before we press on, go on into chapter 6. I said there's not much about Lamech there in verse 28. Verse 29, Noah is the only name in this chapter that is commented on. His name means rest from work and sounds like the Hebrew word for comfort. Now, why would his name mean rest from work? Noah. The open New King James Version of notes says the following: God would indeed bring comfort to humankind by preserving from the flood a small godly remnant in the ark. After the flood, recognizing Noah's sacrifice, God would not curse the ground again. And we have that in Genesis 8, 20 through 21. So we know that they're talking about, well, it's so hard for us because when God passed judgment on Adam, He not only judged Adam, He judged the earth as well. He cursed the ground. And it's going to make it hard now to make a living out of the ground. It's going to be thorns and thistles and black gumbo. So in Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 and 21, it says, Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. This is after the ark came and set on the ground. And he took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Verse 21. And the Lord smelled the soothing aroma, and the Lord said to himself, quote, I will never again curse the ground on account of man. That's why Noah's name means that he would give comfort. He would bring comfort because God is now, after the ark landed, said that he would never curse the ground on account of man. For the intents of man's heart is evil from his youth, and I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. And how did God signify that? What did he do? That's right, a rainbow. In fact, when I was studying this, and it was a little while back when I had 29 inches of rain at my house. And finally, we went for how many days? I don't know. Was it a week not seeing the sun or anything? And right shortly after I looked at this and I read the part about the rainbow, I walked out on my front porch and looked up, and there's a beautiful rainbow. In fact, I have it on my cell phone. You could see the colors going right down to the ground. And I have a picture of that. I keep my cell phone out in the car, which you probably should do as well. Not only would God never destroy all mankind, but He would also preserve His people, even though they would be severely punished. They will see His unconditional promises fulfilled. So they don't deserve it, but God is faithful. That's why we are not wiped out. The Scofield Reference Bible says this: Noah was left on the earth, but persevered through the judgment of the flood. And this is the type of the Jewish people who will be kept through the apocalyptic judgments. What are the apocalyptic judgments? What do we call them? Right, the tribulation. So they richly deserve this punishment, but they're going to persevere through it as well. And He brought as an earthly people to the new heaven and the new earth. This is what He is going to do with them. It has nothing to do about them. It has everything to do about Him. Here's a few scriptures if you want to jot them down. I'm going to read this again so I won't just fly by it. Noah, left on earth, but preserved through the judgment of the flood, is a type of Jewish people who will be kept through the apocalyptic judgments, meaning the tribulation. Jeremiah 30, verses 5 through 9, and Revelation 12, verses 13 through 16. And brought as an earthly people, he's still talking about the Jews, to the new heaven and the new earth. And that is in Isaiah 65, 17 through 19. Isaiah 66, 20 through 22. And Revelation 21, 1. Now, what this is saying is God is faithful to His people. He's faithful to us. It doesn't depend on us. It depends on God and His grace and His plan as to what's going to happen to us. And don't buy into what is called revisionist history regarding the Jews. Because there are people who think that when the... it's called replacement theology, actually. They think that the church has replaced Israel, that when they crucified Christ, that God was done with them, and now everything is pertinent to the church, including the unconditional covenants that were made to Israel, not to the church. He's not done with Israel. In fact, when the second advent begins, Jesus Christ is going to rule on earth for 1,000 years, and all the countries that have treated the Jews like mongrels and have been anti-Semitic are going to be forced to bring tribute to the Jews in Jerusalem. And if they fail to do it, then God's going to cut off their reign. So, this is the fact is, it all depends on God and His plan. Now, this is an interesting fact. I'm glad I got to it today. It's interesting that Adam was a contemporary of Noah's grandfather Methuselah and his father Lamech. In other words, Adam, we're talking about the first man, was still alive and was a contemporary. He probably hobnobbed with Methuselah and even Noah's father. So they probably knew each other, and Adam probably gave them an eyewitness account of the history of mankind. People had the opportunity to speak to Adam personally about the Garden of Eden, the fall, and God's promise of the seed of the woman who would come as the Savior for all mankind, and how he would be victorious over Satan. Now, how would you like to be living then? Noah lived just 19 years less than Methuselah. So Noah was here a long time. Now his granddaddy and his daddy talked to Adam. Don't you think that they passed down to Noah what was going on? How would you like to live by around that time? It's 900 and something years of history. And you could go up and you could say... You could talk to Adam. You could ask him, Adam, what kind of fruit was it? Was it an apple? Was it really an apple? Was it a pomegranate? I'm talking about the forbidden fruit, y'all. And you would, tell you what it is. If he wasn't wearing a shirt, you could see if he had a belly button or not. And that'd put an end to that nonsense. You could... What was the Garden of Eden like? Because after when Adam and Eve were the only ones who knew what the Garden of Eden like. And he could say, oh, you wouldn't believe it. And he could go on and on about it. And you're talking to the guy that lived through it. And you could say, Adam, what's the first memory? I mean, when we're born, we don't remember it. But we're born little babies and, you know, we do what little babies do. But Adam was created as a full-grown man, functionally working. When his eyes popped open for the first time, he was cognizant of his environment. Wouldn't you be interested if you could talk to Adam? We say, Adam, what's the first thing you looked at? What was it like before Eve? What was it like after Eve? I mean, there's a lot of questions I would spend the day or many days. I would try to drill him for everything I get information. the main point in this is that nothing was lost in all these hundreds, nearly a thousand years. Nothing was lost as far as information, because Adam, I don't know how long Eve lived, but Adam lived just nearly enough for Noah to speak to him as well. And I'm sure his dad would say, "Oh yeah, Adam, he might have been a name dropper. He goes to a party. Oh yes, well I talked to Adam the other day. He told me all about Eden and so forth." I just think that's spectacular that he lived that long. So first-hand knowledge about creation and God was preserved for Noah and his sons because his father, no doubt, educated by Adam concerning the true history of creation and man. Now, Noah was 500 years old when his sons were born. Wow. 500 years old. That breaks the record by 318 years of the oldest man who had a son, which was his own father, Lamech. So, 500 years and he was still siring children. Japheth was the oldest son in Genesis 10:21. And, well, before I read that, let's read verse 32. This is the last verse in chapter 5. Look at verse 32 of chapter 5. "And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth." Now, you probably don't see anything unusual about this, but there is something unusual about this. Because usually, if you give your kids names, you usually give the firstborn first, don't you? And then the next one, and usually you do it in chronological order. That's the way it's not normally done in the Bible as well. But not here. Because Japheth was the oldest son. We see that in Genesis 10, verse 21. Ham was the youngest son. We see that in Genesis 9, verse 24. Shem was the middle son. And yet, who is mentioned first? Shem. Have any idea why that is? Huh? That's right. The Messiah would come through his line. God's Messiah would come through the line of Shem, so he is honored by being mentioned first. So that concludes our chapter 5. And I would say, gird up your loins for chapter 6. You talk about controversy. I mean, even the first four verses, people are all over the page on what they, how they would interpret this and what they believe about it. It was the first, I will tell you this, the line of Christ is very important. We might not know it. Those that study the Bible understand it, but Satan sure knows it. The first attack on the line of Christ was on the first son, which was Cain. Satan motivated Cain to murder his brother Abel. The second major attack we'll find in the first four verses of Genesis chapter 6, and I'll give you a few different ideas about what people think about it, and then I'll give you what I see, what the Scripture says. Let's everyone please bow your heads. I'd like to close by giving the gospel like I usually do. There may be someone out there that is afraid to die. They don't know what's going to happen. This is their chance to put all that behind them. The great news is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He went to the cross. He died for the sins of the world. He was buried and rose from the grave, and now he offers eternal life to anyone who will trust him and him alone for the gift of eternal life. It comes simply by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. What he did, not on your works, but on him. In that moment, you're born again, you become a royal family member of God, and you have the opportunity to grow in grace and knowledge. Now, Father, thank you for this time that we had. We have so many issues that come before us these days. The cultural war is raging And we need to think clearly, biblically, and rationally, and do what is right, and not be afraid to speak out and stand for truth and righteousness. We pray that you will help us to do that. And we pray it all in Christ's name. Amen.